I have no idea how loud I'm talking or how soft, so you'll have to bear with me. I'm having trouble with my hearing again. But I want to continue with our thoughts on the more than conqueror's life for the child of God, how to live a victorious life. We've seen several characteristics through the months concerning that life. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at the necessities to live such a life, and we see that it involves the keeping of the heart. That is our main work. There's never a time when our hearts do not need keeping. When things are going well, we certainly need to keep our hearts. When circumstances are difficult, we need to keep our hearts. There's never a time in which we're not to guard our hearts. And we've seen so far that this includes the crucifixion and mortification of the flesh. We saw last week it includes the confessing and turning from sin. And doing these things, mortifying and crucifying the flesh and confessing our sin and turning from sin, again, these things all work together. We cannot really mortify the flesh unless we deal with our sins. But these things gets us in a condition to where the Word of God consistently works effectively in us. In order to live the victorious life, God's Word must be in us. God's Word must be working in us. God's Word must be working effectively in us. So tonight we want to speak concerning our responsibility to God's Word. This is something that we have laid great stress upon through the years, and it's something that every child of God needs to realize the extreme importance of what we do with God's Word each and every day. In Matthew chapter 13, we see Jesus in the parable of the sower makes it very, very clear that the heart must be in a certain condition in relation to receiving the Word of God. And this is a very familiar parable. The parable itself goes verses 1 through verse 8, well, really verses 4 through verse 8. And begin reading verse 4, "And when he sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." He explains this in verse 19. "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." So this is a heart that is hard, has not been prepared. We see that he does not understand what he reads. We should never, ever be content with not understanding what we read. If we read the Word of God, we must understand what we read. And if there's something we don't understand, we need to strive to understand it. But hearts that are not prepared are not going to understand God's Word. It's not a matter of getting a simpler translation of the Word of God. That's not the problem. It is a heart problem. If we do not understand what we read, it's because the condition of our heart. That is, it's a stony heart. We see in verse 5, we read that some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. So there was a manifestation, but it didn't last long. We see in verse 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. This individual receives, he has some reception of the word of God. Persecution comes, or circumstances don't go the way that he or she would like, and everything is gone because there's no depth, there's no root. In verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 22, this is explained, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here's the individual, other things get in the way and choke the word of God. And then in verse 8, but other fell into good ground. That is ground that has been prepared to receive the word of God. And it brought forth fruit. Not everybody brings forth the same fruit. But everyone who has a prepared heart receives the word, and the word of God brings forth fruit. And that is the more than conquerors life. It's the word of God in us bringing forth fruit. Some will bring forth 100-fold. Not everyone is going to bring forth 100-fold. Some will bring forth 60-fold. Some will bring forth 30-fold. And we see this is described or explained in verse 23, but he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The point is that in order to receive God's word, in order for God's word to work effectively in us, our heart must be prepared to receive it. Now you'll notice in verse 4, some fell by the wayside. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places. Verse 7, some fell among thorns. And then the difference is some fell into stony ground. It's not enough for the word of God to fall upon us. It must come into our hearts. And the only way that's going to happen is if our hearts are prepared to receive God's word. So we keep the heart in order that God's word will work effectively in us, in order that God's word will bring forth fruit. It's also plain from the teaching of Scripture that the word of God has a significant role in keeping the heart in a right condition. Our heart must be in a right condition to receive the word, but we cannot keep our heart in a right condition to the neglect of the word of God. Part of keeping our heart in a right condition is for the word of God to have a significant place in our lives. Now, God's word, of course, has a specific design. God has intentions for his word. He has designed it to accomplish certain things. And the Holy Spirit uses God's word as a tool in the lives of his people. And all through the Bible, we are reminded that God has special designs for his word. One of the first designs that we see, of course, is it is designed for giving life That's true in salvation. That's true in the new birth. That's also true in the hearts of God's people. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to revive the hearts of His people. This is made very plain in Psalm 119 as the psalmist prays over and over that God would quicken him according to the Word. And this is what God uses to revive our hearts, is the Word of God. So when we feel ourselves getting cold, when we feel ourselves getting indifferent, you need to get into the Word, because God's Word, God will use the Word to revive our hearts, to quicken our hearts. We see also the Word of God is designed for supporting spiritual life. Not only giving spiritual life, but it's used to support spiritual life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, speaking of the manna, and we see it was given that man might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We must live by the Word of God. So the Word of God must have a significant place in our lives. It's something that we are to live by. We see also it's designed for promoting spiritual growth. This is how we grow. We grow by being in the Word of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The thereby referring back to the Word. We grow by being in the Word of God, by the Word of God being in us. If people are not growing, it's because they have bad spiritual habits. It's because they have bad spiritual habits concerning the Word of God. Because the Word of God is designed that you and I might grow spiritually, that our love might grow, that our faith might grow. In fact, the Word of God is designed to produce faith. In John 20 and verse 31, we read, "But these things are written that ye might believe." Romans 10, verse 17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So God uses His Word to produce faith. God uses His Word to strengthen faith. God uses His Word to increase faith. So if your faith is wavering, the best thing that you can do is get in the Word, because this is what God uses to produce faith. The worst thing you can do when you begin to feel your heart growing cold, the worst thing you can do is withdraw from God's Word. Because it's going to get colder and the heart's going to become more and more hard, because you've removed the heart from that which can soften it, from that which can melt it. If your faith is wavering, the best thing for you to do, again, is to get in the Word of God. If you want to grow spiritually, the best thing for you to do, again, is to get into the Word of God. The Word of God is designed for turning the heart. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 and verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." That is, turning the soul. The Word of God, God uses the Word to turn us. God, and this speaks of the protection of God's Word. God will turn us. He will turn us in our path. He will turn us in the right direction by simply staying in the Word of God. So we need to prepare our hearts to be in the Word of God, and then, of course, the Word of God continues to prepare our hearts. The Word of God is designed for illuminating God's people. In Psalm 119 and verse 30, we see the entrance of thy words. The entrance. And again, speaks of the Word of God being within, giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. God's Word is designed to give you and I light. We live in a dark world, and many times we are surrounded by darkness, but the child of God should never, ever be without light, because the entrance of God's words give light. And the entrance of God's Word gives understanding. We understand things that the world does not understand. And again, we get this from the Word of God. The Word of God is designed for producing comfort and hope. In Romans 15 and verse 4, we read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that in order that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God's Word is designed to comfort you and I. You don't have to go to the self-help section of the bookstore. The busiest section in the bookstore nowadays is the self-help section. Go in a bookstore and just watch. The most people are in the self-help section. But for the child of God, and I'm not saying that there aren't any good books there, there certainly are. But for the child of God, God's Word is designed to give us comfort. God's Word is designed to give us hope. So when you're hurting, the best thing you can do is get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. There's comfort to be found in God's Word. And then that comfort gives us hope. God's people should never be a hopeless people, because if we're in God's Word, we have hope. We see also God's Word is designed for admonishing us. The psalmist said of the Word of God in Psalm 19 and verse 11, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned." God warns us in His Word. You stay in the Word of God, you read the Word of God, and God will warn you over and over and over again. He warns us by example. He warns us by principles. He warns us by precept. He warns us over and over. We're warned, and therefore we are protected once again by the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, Paul wrote, "These are written for our admonition." Our admonition. God uses the Word of God to correct us, to reprove us, to rebuke us, to encourage us. We see also the Word of God is designed to bring joy to the heart. In Psalm 19 and verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." So we see God has a specific design for His Word. It is a design that no other book in all the world has. The Word of God has an influence that no other book has. No other book is equal to importance. The Word of God. God's Word, of course, is more important than any book in all the sayings combined of all human authors throughout history. Cannot equal the Word of God in importance. Cannot equal God's Word in influence. So we need to realize that God's book has a specific design. It is a book that reveals God. No other book reveals God as the Word of God. Many men have written on the subject of God, but no book, none of them can cover God like the Word of God. It reveals God. And is that not what we need? We need God revealed to us. It reveals the mind of God. No other book reveals the mind of God like the Word of God. And that's what we ought to be interested in. What is the mind of God? What does God have to say? What does God think? What is the mind of God? And we learn that from the Word of God. God's Word reveals His will and His plan. A lot of people today are confused concerning God's will. And they use some very, very strange methods to discover the will of God. But the best way to discover the will of God is to stay in the Word. God's Word reveals His will, and God will reveal His will through His Word. God will reveal His plan through His Word. God's Word is a storehouse. It's a storehouse of inexhaustible wealth. You can read it every day, all day long, and you'll never exhaust the wealth of God's Word. You can read the same verse every day, and you still will not exhaust the wealth of a single verse of Scripture. So we need to understand the design of God's Word. In it are treasured up wisdom and knowledge. It's an overflowing fountain which cannot possibly be drawn dry. So all that being said, the Word of God must have a place of importance in our everyday life. We have to do something with it every single day. And I do not believe for one minute that you can consistently live a victorious life if you neglect God's Word. It's not going to happen. Oh, you might have a spurt, but you will not consistently live this victorious life if you neglect God's Word. And I believe the Word of God teaches us that God's Word is to have a daily place in our lives. And again, we've spoke concerning this many, many times. But notice in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. He shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn. There are things that you will never learn if you neglect the Word of God. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. That he may learn to have a reverence for God. How do we have a reverence for God? By reading therein all the days of our life. But again, we have to have our hearts prepared when we read. We have to make sure that the Word of God is being sown on good ground. Also, we read it every day to keep the words of the law and these statutes to do them. The reason that we are to read God's Word is that we can learn and also that we can obey so that we know what to do. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. You see, the Word of God, again, it is used in preparing the heart. But we read here that we're to read therein all the days of our life. When you read something, you become acquainted with what you read. You become acquainted with words. When you read something, you begin to interpret the meaning or the significance of what you're reading. And to read the Word of God means that we become acquainted with it. And we are to do so all the days of our life. We are to interpret the Word of God. We must know what it means. There's no sense reading it if you don't know what it means. So there, again, just as you read anything, you want to understand what you're reading. We see also, not only is the Word of God to be read every single day, notice in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And then notice again that. In order to do something, meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice in Psalm 1 and verse 2. Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is talking about the blessed man. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We're to read the Word of God every day. But we're not to stop with just reading the Word of God. Again, you can read the Bible through in a year. There's all kinds of programs and plans to do that. And nothing wrong with reading the Bible through in a year. But if that's all you do, it's better than nothing. But that's not going to get the job done. You must meditate. Now, I don't know about you, but to read God's Word through in a year, you've got to read several chapters. I have a hard time meditating on several chapters. I can meditate on a verse. I can meditate on a couple of verses. Read and meditate. Again, as we've said before, it's not a race. It's not a race to see how quickly and how much we can read. We must understand what we read. I believe the Word of God needs to be read slowly, word by word. Read a word, stop. Think about what you've just read. But to meditate on God's Word every single day, that means we digest it. It means we absorb what we have read. It means that we begin to take it in. We begin to reflect upon it. We begin to ponder it. We begin to mull it over. And we're to do this every single day. So whatever we read in God's Word throughout the day, we are to think upon what we've read. And we're to pray over what we've read. And we're to ask God to show us and to reveal to us what we've read. Cause us to understand what we've read. Cause us to apply what we've read. So we're to meditate. And this is what Moses is referring to. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Notice, set your hearts unto all the words, unto all the words. That's meditation. We're to meditate every single day. We see also it's to be searched daily. The Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11 search the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. To search is to examine. This is part of our reading. It means that we examine the Word of God. It means that we inspect it thoroughly. It means that we begin to scrutinize. We're seeking and we're pursuing what God's Word has for us. So to read, meditate, and search the Scriptures every single day, that implies that there is a desire to know the Word of God, a desire to understand the Word of God. I'm sorry, but someone says, oh, I want to know and understand the Scriptures, but they don't bother reading them through the week. I'm sorry, but I don't believe you. Because if you really desire to know, if you really desire to understand, read the Scriptures every day. Meditate. Search the Word of God every single day. This is what Paul is telling Timothy when he said, study to show thyself approved. Study. To study is to read. To study is to meditate. To study is to search the Word of God. We're to study it. We're to study it every single day. To study means that we give earnest attention to God's Word. You can read it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you give it earnest attention. That's why, again, meditation and searching must also be included. So it means to study is to give earnest attention. It means that we give careful and extended consideration of what we've read. You can read many things and not even consider what you've read. And I'm afraid many do that with the Word of God. They read the Scriptures, but they never stop and consider what they've just read. And again, we need to read it slowly. We need to read it carefully. To study means that we carefully examine. But it means that we carefully examine with the intent to know. If you're studying something, I don't care what it is, your intent is to know. And when it comes to the Word of God, we are to study the Scriptures with the intent to know. To know what it says. To know what the mind of God is. So the fact that these things are to be done daily, we're to read the Word of God daily, we're to meditate upon it daily, we're to search it daily, that summarized is study. Study the Word of God every single day. But that we are to do these things on a daily basis shows that the Word of God is to have a place of daily importance and prominence in our lives. You cannot expect to live a consistent, victorious life if the Word of God is not important enough to you to read. If the Word of God does not have a prominent enough place in your life to pick it up and read it, and to meditate upon it, and to search it every single day. Well, I don't have time. You need to readjust your schedule. You need to find time for the Word of God. I don't care how busy you are or how busy you think you are. You need to rearrange your schedule if you do not have time for God's Word. You need to take the time. And I happen to know this, that everybody takes the time pretty much for what they want to do. And if you want to read the Word of God, if you want to meditate on God's Word, if you want to search God's Word, you want to study God's Word, you'll find the time to do so. It's not the problem isn't time. The problem is with our desire. The problem is with our heart. The fact that these things are to be done daily reveals that we are to have a routine, that we are to have a habit regarding the Word of God. We're to have good habits toward the Word of God. We need to form a habit. We need to form a routine concerning the Word of God every single day. Whatever works. But you need to have a routine. You need to have the habit of reading God's Word every day. The fact that these things are to be done daily reveals that we are to have a craving for the Word of God. We're to have an addiction to it. We ought to be addicted to the Word of God. We're addicted to a lot of things in our society. We have a very addictive society. But we as God's people need to have an addiction to the Word of God. Where I've got to read it. I have to. I can't get through the day without reading, without meditating, without thinking upon the Word of God. It does not work. You neglect God's Word. And if you neglect God's Word to a degree, you have neglected God. You neglect God's Word on a daily basis. Suddenly you have a problem. So you begin to search. Doesn't work, does it? It's not a fire escape. It's not a fire escape. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. We're to have a daily habit with the Word of God. That these things are done daily means that we must approach God's Word on a consistent basis. And our approach is the primary steps that we take toward reading God's Word, toward meditating upon God's Word, toward searching and studying God's Word. God's Word should always be approached with humility. Don't approach God's Word to prove somebody else wrong. That's not the purpose of approaching God's Word. Approach God's Word with a spirit of humility, with a spirit of reverence, with a spirit of awe. Isaiah 66 in verse 2, we see there's a great promise for those who approach God's Word in a spirit of humility. It's to be approached with a spirit of submission. Again, you do not just pick up God's Word when you want to win an argument. You pick, every time you pick up God's word, your desire ought to be, I want to submit to what I'm reading. You can't just read it for someone else. Well, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to show them this. That's not the purpose of reading God's word. But our purpose is that I must submit. I must submit to God's word. And we are to approach it with faith, believing what it says. Don't determine what you believe and then read God's word and try to make God's word fit into what you've already decided you're going to believe. That's how heretics are born. But approach God's word in faith, just simply believing what it says. And if it runs contrary to your doctrine, you need to change your doctrine. You need to align your doctrine with the Word of God. We need to approach it with seriousness. We need to be serious when we read God's Word. We need to be serious when we handle the Word of God. We are to approach it with a spirit of dependence, depending on the Holy Spirit to show us what it means. When I open God's word, I always pray, Lord, protect me from my own thinking. Protect me from my own thinking. Protect me from my own opinions. Protect me from my own ideas, and just show me. Show me what you have for me. Approach God's word depending on the Holy Spirit, asking God to give you understanding. If you come across a verse, and it happens all the time, that we do not understand, you pray that the Holy Spirit would show you. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give you understanding. You don't need to make 50 phone calls and find out what everybody else believes. Pray that God would show you. And He will. He will. You might have to search, but He will show you. We see also we must approach it with a desire to apply it to ourselves. To apply it to ourselves. Again, we read the Word of God for ourselves. You really can't help someone else until you read God's Word for yourself. You have to make daily application. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all Scripture, that includes the genealogies, all Scripture is profitable. It's profitable. So if our reading, if our meditating, if our searching and studying of the Scriptures is not profitable, then we're not doing it right. Then we're doing something wrong. The problem is not with the Scriptures. It never is. The problem's with us. It may be our hearts. It may be our method of study, but be sure of this. If you study God's word and you're not getting anything out of it, the problem lies with you. That's always the case. There is a direct correlation between what we do with the Scripture on a daily basis. There's a direct correlation to that, with that, to our enjoyment of the Lord. You are not going to consistently enjoy the Lord if you are not consistently reading, studying the Word of God. There's a direct correlation. There is a direct correlation between what you do with the Scriptures and your relationship with the Lord. Again, I'm sorry, but I don't believe it when someone says, oh, I'm as close to God as I've ever been, but they never read God's word. You can't possibly have much of a relationship if you're not interested in the letters that He's written you. If you don't want to hear what He has to say, try that on a human being. I want to have a relationship with you, but don't talk to me. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I'm not interested. You're not going to have much of a relationship. It's not going to last long. And that's true with the Lord as well. There is a direct correlation between what we do with the Scriptures on a daily basis and our love for the Lord. I believe the more you read God's Word, the more you love His Word, the more you love His Word, the more you love Him. Those things just go hand in hand. Well, there's a direct correlation between what we do with the Scriptures and our zeal for the Lord. I tell you what, it's hard to read God's Word every single day in the right way, pray about what you read, and be depressed. I don't see how you can do it. I don't see how you can read God's Word every day and pray that God would comfort you and give you hope and be depressed. It doesn't work that way. There's a direct correlation. There's a direct correlation between what we do with the Scriptures on a daily basis and our spirit and attitude and outlook upon life. You can't have a lousy outlook. You can't have a lousy attitude if you're in the Scriptures every day, if you're reading the Word of God every day. It is stated in Isaiah 34 and verse 16, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Seek ye out of the book and read. And we are to do that, as we've already seen, every single day. It is to have a place of importance. It is to have a place of prominence in our lives. Everyone wants to live the victorious life. Everyone desires that life. Even the lost man desires that life. Every child of God has a desire to live a victorious life. You'd rather live a victorious life than a defeated life, a life of joy than a life of misery. But there are things that you have to do if you're going to consistently live a victorious life. There has to be a keeping of the heart, a mortification of sin. There has to be a confession and a turning from sin. And the Word of God must have a place of daily importance in our lives. We need, as we've stressed over and over and over again, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word of God. There are individuals who have sat in churches for a long time, and they still don't know much. They still don't know much because they don't study. Because it's not a matter of intelligence. It's because they do not study. They do not read. They do not search the Word of God. Notice, and we'll close, in Matthew chapter 17. And we preached on this not too long ago. But in Matthew 17, we have the account of the transfiguration of Christ. And I believe what we have here is something that we need to experience every single day. And this is how we live this consistent, victorious life. In verse 1, we see that Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And you can read verses 2 through 8, and you see what happened upon that mountain. But to sum up what happened was, they heard Jesus, they saw Jesus, and they felt the touch of Jesus. Three very, very important things. There is no better way to start a day than in the Word of God, where you hear Jesus, where you see Him, and where you feel His touch. There's no better way to start a day. Verse 9, "And as they came down from the mountain," as soon as they got down that mountain, they were faced with everyday life. But the best way to face everyday life is to spend some time alone with the Lord on the mountain. And to do that every day. And then what you experience on that mountain, you carry that into everyday life experiences. And if you do that on a consistent basis, you will live a victorious life. But you cannot avoid that mountain. You cannot avoid a fellowship, a time of fellowship with the Lord. It's really very shameful the way many of God's people treat the Word of God. It's shameful. It's shameful, their lack of reading, their lack of meditating, their lack of study. It's shameful. It's shameful the way they hear, the way they listen to the Word of God. If we only knew tonight that our attitude toward God's Word reveals our heart. That reveals the condition of our heart. Again, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is how you live that victorious Christian life. And as you begin the day reading God's Word and you meditate upon it through the day, turn to it again. Read it again. Read it over and over. And whatever you have to do to meditate on Scriptures, whatever it is, whatever you have to do to take a passage of Scripture with you through the day, that's what you need to do. Whatever it takes. If you have to write it down, put it on the dashboard of your car, it doesn't matter. Whatever it takes. If you have to put it in front of you on your desk, whatever it takes to cause us to always have it between our eyes. We always see what we've read that day. And it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in your life. And I just wish that people could understand this. Those people come with their problems and you direct them toward God's Word and they get offended. He doesn't really care. All he does is he talks about the Word of God. He has no compassion. Okay, go to the self-help section and get a book there. That's not compassion. That's not going to help you. You can sit down and agree with you. Oh yes, you're miserable. No one's had it worse than you. Oh, that's compassion. Thank you, Brother Dan, for being so compassionate. That won't help you. You have to get in the Word of God. That's what's going to make a difference. And if that is considered hard, if that is considered harsh, so be it. Go on being miserable. But I'm telling you, what will make a difference is getting in the Word of God. Get in it every single day. It'll make a difference in your life. Young people, study God's Word every day. Get in the habit now. Being in God's Word every single day. Nothing else can take its place. Nothing else is going to work as well. This is the answer. Get in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. And I promise you, if you do that and you have the right spirit in doing it, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll change. It'll change your life if you do that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us